Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress. Oh, you are my portion, you are my hiding place. Oh,
my dear friends, it's good to see y'all again on a Friday night. I hope that you can hear me well. And yes, unfortunately, as always, the Bible bot when we need it goes offline. So that's what's wrong with it, Lisa. It just kind of went down a while ago. So who knows? It's been performing fine, no issues and everything else. But then all of a sudden, when it's time for us to do a sermon, bam, it decides it wants to take a trip. So anyway, it's Friday as always, you know, so things has happened. But, you know, the enemy is always trying to wreck this thing. He's always trying to disrupt. But, You know, in a way, I feel sorry because that BibleBot does serve 27,000 servers, so I'm sure 27,000 people are upset right now at the moment. So, you know, so I can imagine the owner and his tech support group, if I was in there right now, they'd probably be slammed with about 500 people in there hollering, hey, the bot ain't working, the bot ain't working, you know, so it happens. Anyway, so I guess you might have to do it the old-fashioned way, copy and paste. So, you know, if not, then, you know, hey, they at least going to hear me say the scriptures. But everybody can hear me okay? I'm making sure this thing is working okay, so. All right, well, we're good to go. So, those of you who are here, you were in my last week's message. And hey, Sarah, how you doing? Good to see you again. In my last message that I spoke about, which y'all who were here that attended that, and those who may have listened to it later on online, you know, because I do repost the link, then I post it on Facebook, and then it's off our website and things like that. But I spoke about Christian attitudes, and it was, you know, a lot of people, you know, I don't know whether they listen to it or not, but you know, I was demonstrating in that message how we should have the right attitude with the right mindset. Because again, I should have wrote the scriptures down for this introduction, but I was reading it a couple of days ago that we are supposed to have the mind of Christ. And when you look at that passage, what that really tells us that we should not have the mind of the world, the mind of the flesh, the mind of what other people say. Us born-again believers, believe it or not, we have God's Holy Spirit in us, should have the mind of Christ. And what that means, we should be thinking exactly like Him. And we should be conducting our attitudes just like Him, which is leading into the second part of this message tonight. And during that message last week, you know, I mentioned to y'all that following Jesus means, hey, that we are to change. Yeah, we're imperfect. None of us gets it right. We all make mistakes. We got our flaws and we have to learn to live with them. But we should make a progressional change from what you once were to what you are now to what you are becoming. So there should be a consistent change in us, in the things that we do, the things we say, the things we speak, or how we act. Should always be. Should always be, folks. No yes, no buts, whatever. Let's see. Yeah, thank you, dear. That's it. See, but we have the mind of Christ, folks. And that's how our attitude should be. And that's why our attitude is going to lead into this, because like I said, we're changing. We are transformed into looking like Jesus, being more like Him in our ABCs, which is attitudes, behavior, and character. Last week was attitudes. Tonight we're going to be talking about Christian behavior. So now, whenever we are talking about Christian behavior, we are talking about the behavior of those who have accepted by faith Jesus Christ as their Savior and thus are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, making it possible for them to serve God. Now, those of you who's in our Bible studies on Facebook on every Thursday nights, y'all know that we've been going systematically going through chapter 15 of John, verse by verse by verse, and it's always talking about what word. I'm testing two of y'all here tonight. What word that I'll constantly to keep hitting on all the time? Of course, I'm hitting on a few of them, but the one that the vine tells us that we must be doing. Two of y'all probably look at me with a blank, Unless y'all slow typers. Let's see if Lisa's going to get it. Okay, go for it. I mean, that's what I want to see, if somebody's paying attention. Okay, well, we were running on time, so I don't want to keep... We must constantly be abiding with the Holy Spirit, folks. See, the Holy Spirit is making it possible for us to serve God. And when I was talking about that, that's what the whole chapter has been breaking down. It's been telling us that who are Christians and who merely appear to be Christians. because we're supposed to be producing that fruit. And the only way to produce the fruit has to be with the help of the Holy Spirit. So we constantly must be abiding in the Word, and we must be abiding in the Spirit. Total submission. And if we're not abiding, then again, our behavior is not going to reflect it. So examples of Christian behaviors, if you look at it, and if you really study it, it's woven throughout Scriptures. All throughout the Word of God, you're going to find examples of Christian behavior. And see, indeed, our Savior himself, he even spoke at length about the way that we are to behave towards friends and enemies. Yes, there are certain ways we are supposed to behave towards friends and enemies. He makes it plain as day. More than that, however, that the life that he lived, insinuated by his love and compassion for the lost, provides the consummate example of what Christian behavior should look like, or look like. So if I was to see you face to face, but I see a lot of you talking in the chat room. I see a lot of you talking on Facebook, you know. So I see what's going on, what's said, and what. You know, I see people in church all the time. So whenever I see you, if you're claiming to be a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you something right now, folks. First thing, your attitude should show it. Secondly, your behavior ought to demonstrate it. And if either one's not, something's wrong. Something's wrong. You know, something's wrong, folks. Christian behavior should look like Jesus Christ. Plain and simple. No yes, no buts, no compromise, no in-betweens. You see, folks, Christians are God's workmanship. Let me repeat this. Christians are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now, get this clear. You can't do enough good works to earn your salvation. The Bible's clear on that. There is no such thing as works-based salvation. James does says, though, I will show you my works by my faith. So, again, workmanship, folks, is created in Jesus Christ for us to do good works, and that only comes from the help of the Holy Spirit himself. We can try to do good all on our own, but it ain't going to happen, Captain. It ain't. The reason why we are created to do good works in Jesus Christ is because of who we are and what we should be demonstrating for other people, and we should show a behavior that glorifies God and makes Christ real to others. You see, me and my wife, we pray this prayer every morning. You know, there's a little other things in the prayer, but everything that we constantly pray every morning, Lord, let Jesus be seen in me today when I'm out there. So that way they can come to know who he is by my actions. But that's what I do, folks. And granted, look, we all understand this. There are obstacles in our daily lives. Look, all of us can attest to that. There's obstacles in our lives that we live every day. And they can encumber our minds. They can actually hinder our spiritual progress if we let it. You get that? They can do many things to us if we allow those things to happen. But we have power in us, the Holy Spirit, and he is our guide, our comforter, our helper. He brings all things to life. But, you know, those are things out there in that world. If you allow them to get into your life, you know, if you allow them to get into your eyes and your ears and everything else, if you allow it to come out of your heart, you know, as I said last week, garbage in is garbage out. They can actually hinder your walk with the Lord. Sometimes make you inert, where you're not producing no good fruit at all. Pew, you actually would stink. But nonetheless, Christians, my friends, are called to live lives that are holy and pleasing to God. an exemplary Christian behavior that allows us to fully commit ourselves to serving the Lord is made possible as we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, who enables us to do the Father's will. And you heard me say this last night in the Bible study. The Holy Spirit is the only one within us that hears from the Father. You see, the Holy Spirit is not going to tell us something, to do something, say something, or act on something, unless he actually hears it from the Father. The Holy Spirit does not act on his own authority. He acts on the Father's authority. So God relates to him to relate to us what is needed. And if you're in total submission of the Holy Spirit, if you are living or truly working on living a righteous life, a total surrendered life, you're going to be more sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. You will. Some folks say, well, I don't sense nothing. Well, if you're not sensing nothing, then maybe you should do a self-examination. Find out if there are things in your lives or if you're doing things that is hindering your process or your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Trust me, I've been down that path and I allowed a lot of things to make the Holy Spirit go inert, to quench him, shut him up, to the point that he was actually being grieved. Before you know it, I was not hard of hearing him at all. So be careful. We need to be in a surrendered life to the Holy Spirit in order to hear the Father's will, to be guided by it, to be directed by it, to be corrected if necessary, rebuked, chastised. If it has to happen, it happens, but God will do it. But are you willing to be sensitive enough to listen to him and follow his leading? This is what we are as Christians. This is why our behavior must demonstrate what we claim. Folks, the world is watching you. People are watching you. So if you got your Bibles with you tonight, I'm not sure, I look like the bot popped up, but I don't know if it's working. But if you got your Bibles with you tonight, our reading scriptures is 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. And look what it says. Whoever says he abides in him, pay attention to this, folks, ought to walk the same way in which he walked. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we ask of you to be with us for the short little time in mind, body, and spirit. Father, there are forces out there that's trying to get at us all the time, Father, and we need your strength and your courage, your wisdom, your protective hand. We need your directions. We need to learn to be a little bit more better in what we claim to be. And like I said earlier, we got flaws, and you know it. But we ask you to help us strip these things in our lives, to help us be better, to help us lead that life that we're supposed to be living, and let us demonstrate Christ for other people to see. And if we make mistakes, okay, we make mistakes, but we need to start rectifying those mistakes and start doing the right thing. And this is why I pray this every morning. I ask you, and I ask you throughout the day, give me the strength I need in order to do better, to improve, to make sure that whatever I do is pleasing to you. I ask of you to touch those who are here today. They could have been elsewhere, but they decided to sit here to listen to this message. I'm glad they are here, and I hope they get something out of it, because again, this is not about me. I'm not trying to prove to these folks here that I can preach. I'm just only being used by you in order to preach whatever you tell me to preach. Those who did not make it here tonight, for whatever reason, I don't know what it is, that's up to you. That's between you and them. You deal with them, and I'll just let that be. I ask of you to protect them and watch over them. Father, most of all, let us all be in unity and prayer for Israel, your nation, which we all know is coming under attack right now. The wicked one wants nothing to do except to get in there and just take that nation for itself. And I ask of you to protect those folks in Israel, to watch over and protect them. Father, we know that you are watching over them. We know that you're going to protect them, but we are praying in unity for you to take care of those people who's trying to tear them down. Father, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And y'all know the title of the message again is called Christian Behavior. Now, in light of this, Christians are chosen people. Did you not know that, or did you know it? Maybe you did and I didn't, you know, who knows? But I'm just testing y'all to see if y'all know or not. But look, folks, Christians are chosen people. Y'all remember what I said last night when Jesus initiated to the disciples? Y'all remember what I said in verse 16, John 15, 16? What he said? I chose you. So again, God chose us. We're chosen people. He knew that we was going to accept Jesus Christ. God has foreknowledge of everything. He knows all. He knew us before we was even born, folks. So he knows who's his, and he knows who's not going to be his. So when it's our time to be accepted by the Holy Spirit or to surrender to Christ, he knows the exact date, time, minute, and seconds. So that's why when you were drawn to God, you were chosen because God was ready for you to see what you needed to be seen or to know, to understand, to be converted, to be saved. He knew. And that's why I say that we are a chosen people belonging to God, so that way we can declare his praises. We should be constantly praising him from our mouths and our minds and our hearts and our songs and our prayers. We should be praising him all the time. So if we are to declare his praises, then it is essential that we spend time in his word, not just so we can learn how to behave in a Christian fashion. Listen to this carefully. We should spend careful time into his words all the time, not to learn how to behave in a Christian fashion, folks, but how we can battle against the schemes of the devil. You see, that's why the word is so important for us to study. If we don't study, how is the Holy Spirit going to teach us? How are we going to understand how to fight the wiles of the devil? Satan's after each one of us, folks. Satan's after you all the time. Satan's trying to rip you down. He's trying to tear you up. He's trying to mess you up. He's trying to get you to quit on God. And if you are not steadfast into the word and prayer and meditation, then how are you going to learn how to fight him or to defeat him? This is why Christian behavior is so important. But we're also told, and here's scriptures to back this up, we're also told in the Bible, in accordance to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, this is what it says. It says that in that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And as the Apostle Paul himself pointed out to us, without this biblical knowledge, we are not subject to bind into every new teaching that comes along, folks. See, without this biblical knowledge, we can fall into every scheme that comes down the pike. We can fall into every new teaching that comes down the pike. That's why it's so important to know, to have that knowledge. Because, folks, if you don't have that knowledge, you can fall prey to the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. And, folks, there are men out there and teachers out there that you can get sucked up into and get caught up into that trap without you even knowing about it. It may convince you so well that, hey, you know, what they're saying is true. I believe it. I got no problem understanding what they're saying. But you better be careful, because if you're not steadfast into the word, if you're not really into the word, folks, you could be misled or bamboozled, as I said. But however, I want you to understand, knowledge alone is never enough. Knowledge alone is never enough. See, you and I, we are called to do more than to know and to believe. See, as James says in James chapter 1, verse 23, look what he says there. And that's why James is giving us a warning. He says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word, but not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. Again, folks, Christians ought to be doers of the word. And as the Apostle James informs us, we are deceiving ourselves if we think we are spiritual by only hearing the word. So that's what he's really trying to tell you. You know, if you're hearing the word, but you're not doers of the word, then you're only deceiving yourself. Plain and simple. Hearing is not the same as doing, folks. I'm sorry. It's not. Some folks wish it was. Faith by itself is not accomplished by action, is dead. Faith must be demonstrated by actions. Again, we know what James says later on that, in that chapter. He said, I will show you my works by my faith. Folks, faith not put into works is dead. Faith not put into action by the Holy Spirit's leading is also dead. Again, you got to understand that's why James is saying we can hear the word all day long. You can hear me preach all day long. You can listen to podcasts and YouTube sermons and this and that and everything else. You can listen to everything that's coming down the pipe, but if you're not putting it to action, then all that faith in that is dead. So, as I spoke earlier, with all this in mind, folks, and we should ask the question. With this in mind, there are going to be four questions that we should ask oneself when we consider if our actions are showing true Christian behavior when other people are looking at us. Four things we need to be asking ourselves, and we should consider this very carefully. If our actions are showing true Christian behavior, if people are looking at ourselves. First thing that you should be considering, you should be asking this all the time consistently. First thing, is my behavior acting like the mind of Christ? Is it? Is my behavior acting like the mind of Christ or something else? So when we are going about our daily lives, we should be thinking all the time, are my actions showing Jesus or are they showing something else? You see, a lot of times our thoughts is what makes us act. And if we allow ourselves to be thinking on bad thoughts, sooner or later, friends, we're going to act on those thoughts. It's like that little marble. You throw it in, rolls and rolls and rolls and rolls, and you keep thinking and keep thinking and you keep thinking and you keep thinking. Sooner or later, you're going to act on our thoughts. That's why we're told to captivate our thoughts. That's why we are commanded in the Bible to captivate those thoughts. You see, you and I can decide of how we're going to act based upon our thought, meaning I can choose my thoughts and think things on purpose. In other words, folks, I don't have to just think about whatever falls into my mind. I don't. Why? Proverbs 23:7 says this. Look at it very carefully. For he is like one who is inwardly calculating. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. See, now God is concerned about the hidden man of the heart, which is our inner life. Our inner life is what we think about. And like the scripture we just read says, the way we think, folks, on how we live is who we are. You see where I'm going with this? That's why we need to think about what we're thinking about. That's why we need to think about what we're thinking about. And as I was reading this morning, the scripture says, our minds should be focused on heavenly things, not the things of the earth, not the things of self. Should be focused on heaven. So it's important for us to understand this, because look, if we don't learn how to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, we won't live the life Jesus died to give us. A life of peace with God, peace with ourselves, great relationships, real joy, the ability to become all that God has created us to be. So if you claim to have a mind of Christ, but do not demonstrate a life that reflects this behavior in actions, then you're not believing. You're not believing or not to believe when you tell others, hey, I got the mind of Christ. Because you're not believing, then you're not to be believed. Because if you're telling people, hey, I got the mind of Christ, but you're doing things that is not Christ-like, I'm sorry, friends, but again, I would have to look at you and say, wait a minute, that's one messed up person. If we are in Christ, folks, look, our demonstration, our behaviors should demonstrate Christ-like behavior and not of the world and not of the flesh. The second question we should be asking about ourselves is our behavior edifying? Is it? Is your behavior edifying? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 says this. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. That's a lot going on there, folks. Meaning, what that boils down to, we have freedom in Jesus Christ, but we have a responsibility to help others in their Christian growth. We have freedom in Jesus Christ, friends, but we have a responsibility to help others in a Christian growth. Our first duty to others is not of ourselves. Ooh, what? Are you kidding me? No, I'm not. Our first duty to others is not of ourselves. Look what Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says about that. This is not me saying this, friends. This is the Word of God. It says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others. Ooh, hold on. There must be a misprint there or something, huh? Nope. It says, in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Y'all heard this expression, I must decrease in order for him to increase. We must die to self. Our minds, our hearts, our attitudes, our actions, our behaviors should be thinking about more people than ourselves. We should be thinking about them more than ourselves. Tough pill to swallow, isn't it? Look, I'm going to tell you something right now. Jesus did this right. He did it right. As in all things, we know that. He valued other lives above his own with love. He honored others' lives above his own by dying for us. He made your life more important than his own without making his less important. And in fact, his life became more important because of what he did. And as Christians, we are expected to grow spiritually. Our knowledge of God should be ever increasing, and our obedience to Him should be continually perfect or perfected. I'm going to take perfect out of there and add perfected. So our life should be continually perfected, meaning we should be constantly changing. In fact, Christian life is about improvement with the proper behavior. Not self-improvement or works-based improvement. No, folks, that don't work. But newness from God. In Christ, we are new creations and we are being made new. We have been declared righteous and becoming righteous. Christians are called to cooperate with God's work in them. We should be intentional about our edification, seeking to know God and to obey Him. And because of this, we are told to build each other up. Not tear down, not cause issues, not cause fears, not criticizing, but to build each other up. We should seek to live at peace with others. We should monitor our thoughts and set our minds on things of God. Above all, we should seek God and submit to His work in us. Edification is for the glory of God and the good of His people and not self-promotion. Let me warn some of you out there, if you're a self-promoter and you're talking about me, 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 I did this, I did that, I did this, 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 this, and you're constantly running around telling people those things, well, then you are doing nothing but self-promoting yourself. Where's the edification in that? I can type and talk about my life all day long, but that's not edifying nobody else. We should be edifying other people. We should be edifying God. The Bible is very clear and it warns us about self-promotion. We shouldn't. We shouldn't be bragging on ourselves. Y'all remember I just said earlier, we should be thinking of other people above ourselves. Folks, no self-promotion. That's not what our behavior should look like. The third thing we should be asking consistently about ourselves. And I think about this one a lot. Does my behavior cause a weaker brother or sister to stumble? Does my behavior cause a weaker brother or sister to stumble? You ain't been thinking about that one, you better. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says this. But take care that this is right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. Be careful. Don't be a stumbling block to the weak, folks. We need to be careful with our attitudes and behavior, in part due to dealing with other believers who may not be strong in their faith. Because, the reason why, if we tell them, hey, you got to live the way of Jesus Christ, and then by our actions, we are not doing what we're telling them, so before you go tell another brother and sister how they should act and live and the things they should do, if you're not doing it, then zip it. Shut up. You ain't got no right to do so. That's why Jesus warns us, get that 4x4 out of your eye before you attempt to remove the splinter out of someone else's eye. Because again, if you're trying to tell someone else, hey, you got to do this, but you're not doing it, then we become stumbling blocks to them. That's right, we become stumbling blocks to them. How so? Well, here's a good example. You see this in the Bible. What Paul himself informed Peter of what he was doing. Now make a note here. I want this to be very clear. Paul himself does not hesitate. You can read it and you have to study it, but Paul himself does not hesitate to demand mature believers of those that he expects to be mature. If you claim to be a brother and sister and you've been in Christ for 10, 15, 20, 30 years or whatever, but you are not acting as you claim to be, I expect you to be. Paul expected the same thing from Peter. But cautious us. And he goes on to say in his teaching, he cautions us to be gentle with those who are not mature. So, like I used to do in my early age, I was called one of those Bible thumpers. Boy, I would beat you up with the word. Whew. And as a pastor, I can get away with it on the pulpit. But I learned to stop beating people up. You know, I learned people who were not mature enough, I had to be gentle with them. Now, back to Paul dealing with Peter. See, he noticed when he was writing that passage, when Peter ministered to Galatia, Paul expects him really to uphold, you know, this is what Paul, he's looking at Peter now. You remember when I said that due to all Christian behavior, people are looking at us? Well, here's Paul himself now. You see, at first they didn't like him. Oh, Saul, the Christian killer. But didn't realize he changed. But they didn't change. They still had the mindset that Paul was still a persecutor of Christians. But here Paul, when he wrote this passage, you know, when he's talking to the church of Galatia, he expected Peter to uphold Christian freedom. Even going so far to oppose Peter to his face for refusing to eat with the Gentile Christians in the presence of other Jewish Christians. See, in other words, folks, Peter's behavior did not reflect his actions or what he was preaching to them. You see, Peter was preaching to them, you got to do this, you got to be circumcised, you got to do this. Well, Peter was hanging out with him, he was telling the word, y'all got to follow these rules and all that stuff. But then all of a sudden when some Jewish Christian shows up, whoop! I don't know those people. I don't want to be saying with those people. Peter was two-timing, double-minded. No. Paul called him out on it. Peter, me and you, we got to go eyeball to eyeball, buddy. You got some problems here, my friend. You got some problems, and we got to get this straightened up. And we know the end of the story. He straightened them up. In fact, he straightened up the rest of the apostles. They were all doing the same thing. Bottom line, folks, look, our behavior affects others for good or bad. Therefore, we are responsible for other believers. If we demand our rights to choose freely whatever we want to honor God and then uncaring, offending, or hurtful to other believers, let me tell you something right now. You are doing more damage than good. You are doing more damage to the body of Christ. Because if you demand to them, but you're uncaring to the offending or the hurtful to the other believers, you're wishy-washy. You're doing more harm than good. You, in fact, again, are damaging the body of Christ by your unfruitful behaviors. So if you are saying things and speaking things and doing things that is not Christ-like, but yet you are trying to be self-righteous and tell other people not to do it, then you better shut up or you better go back to that mirror and you better ask God, okay, God, wait a minute. I got some problems here. I got some issues because, again, I'm claiming to be this, but yet I'm saying this to other people, and yet I am not living it. Hello? I done it. I done that. God had to say, come here, Jimmy. We got to have a talk. Son, we got to have a talk. Well, what do you mean? I'm cool. I'm okay. No, you ain't. In fact, I'm calling you out, son. Here's what's going on. Boy, I'm going to tell you what. Once I realized that, I came to some serious humbleness. Did I? Some real whipping came on then. Be careful on how your behavior is. Be sure to show Christ's behavior all the time. Not when it suits you or how you pick and choose to live. You must be 100% all the time in a Christ-like manner for all to see. Your actions goes a long way. Y'all know the saying, folks. First impressions are lasting impressions. Think about that. And the fourth thing that we should be thinking about in our Christian behavior. And that's when I just said to y'all, look, God had a talk with me, and he showed me what real humility was all about. I humbled myself before him because, again, then I came to this question. See, folks, everything that I'm preaching on tonight is what I dealt with in my life in the last 2 years. Not my whole ministry, the last 2 years. I'm speaking what I know. That's why I'm trying to tell you this about your behavior right now. I'm telling you this right now. I'm not going to call you out on a carpet. But there are many of you who are listening to this thing. If you are not being what you are claiming to be, then folks, you are causing other people to stumble. You're doing more harm than good. I'm not going to call nobody here in this room out on a carpet. But folks, we're not clean in everything we do. You better go get a tune-up and check yourself. Because, again, that's why I came to this point in my life. Does my behavior bring honor and glory to God? And before you even start thinking about, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yes, I bring honor and glory to God. Do you? Do you? Don't jump on a yes bandwagon so quick. Do you bring honor and glory to God in everything you do? You remember, God sees all, knows all, hears all. Nothing's going to be hidden. Nothing. And you're going to be held accountable for it. You're going to be judged on it. And boy, when I came to that point in my life, oh my goodness. Oh no. What have I done? Wow. What have I done, Lord? First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. So whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Folks, God calls us to glorify him in all we do. Or perhaps to put it more precisely, one of the great ways God glorifies himself is by calling and enabling us, his people, to glorify him through our holy conduct. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And don't quote that passage if you're not holy in all things you do, including me. You see, Jonathan Edwards, he commented this, I liked it. And he said this, from time to time in scriptures, embracing and practicing true religion and repenting of sin and turning to holiness is expressed by glorifying God as though that were the sum and end of the whole matter. Some heavy words. Because folks, let me tell you something. When I read that, if Edwards is correct, if he is, it suggests that the Christian life at heart is one of glorifying God. Now, what does that mean to say that God created us for his glory? Let me tell you something. That's a hard thing to ponder on. It really is. It really is. Folks, very hard for me to try to come up with something to let you know what that means. Glory is a very hard thing to define. It's a very hard thing to describe. It's like the word beauty. We all can use it to communicate with it, but when we try to reduce it to words, it's very frustrating. It's very frustrating when you get reduced to words to try to put it in words. In fact, folks, it's easier to point to an example. It really is. You see, the glory of God is the beauty and excellence of his manifold perfections. It is an attempt to put into words what God is like in his magnificence and purity. It refers to his infinite and overflowing fullness of all that is good. Now, the term might focus on his different attributes from time to time. It may. Like his power and wisdom, mercy and justice. Because each one indeed awesome and beautiful in his magnitude and quality. But in general, God's glory is a perfect harmony of all his attributes into one infinitely beautiful and personal being. Told you I was trying to put it into words. You see, and knowing this, folks, we should always be asking ourselves, is my behavior bringing glory to God, or is it displeasing him? I ask that every day, all day. This should be on mine 24/7. It should be on minds 24/7 in all that we do every waking second of our day. In fact, the actions that glorify our Father in heaven are those that bear much fruit. This is, in fact, of how we show others who we are. This is, in fact, how we show others that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. And we should show others that we are demonstrating the Christ-like behavior for all to see. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. Christian behavior includes heeding Jesus' call for us to be his witness to the ends of the earth. We are to share the gospel, which Paul defines as death burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So in case you don't fully understand what the gospel is all about, the gospel is about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's the good news. The vitality of our witness is how we live our lives. Simple. Ephesians chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 tells this. Plain and simple. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You see, Paul himself tells us that a Christian behavior, which can be best summed up in these few words, therefore, be imitators of God. We should be imitating his every consistent way of living, every day, every minute, every second. And live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Paul urged us to offer your bodies, again, a living sacrifice, as he said in Romans 12, 1. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. We should be a constant, consistent sacrifice in our Christian behavior. And this, my friends, is the essence of true Christian behavior. Surrendering our hearts, yielding our bodies to Christ so he might continue God's work through us. We are to be beacons of light in a dark world, using our spiritual gifts to advance his kingdom. It is living here on earth the way Jesus lived when he was here. It also means living to please one person, God. We do this when we abide in his word and then live it out as we are enabled by his spirit, just as our Savior did until he took his last breath on the cross. And this is a prime example, best example of a true Christian behavior, a true Christ-like behavior. Pay attention. This is the best one, friends. As I just said, when Jesus went to the cross, he demonstrated behavior, true behavior, to his last breath. But as he was dying on that cross, Jesus looked out at his executioners. And what did he say? He looked out at those people. And what did he say? Come on, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. You see, folks, Jesus was doing more than just fulfilling prophecy and making intercessions for the transgressors. He was practicing what he preached. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. And folks, this should be what our behavior should look like for all to see. Amen.